In these days of national pride, Gertrude Lawrence finds herself in the rather enviable position of having been born in England of an Irish mother and Danish father, and on demand will produce documents to prove that she arrived in the world on the 4th of July. This gives Miss Lawrence tangible claim to no less than four countries, each of which would like to have her as its own. She has won the admiration and acclaim of audiences both here and in England for her performances in musical comedy productions, drama, and more recently in film. This season, she is co-starring with Noel Coward in a tremendously popular group of nine short plays, in which she has added to her reputation for possessing extraordinary versatility. The magic key turns to bring you the distinguished English actress, Gertrude Lawrence.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. In England, our debutantes just now are looking forward to their coming out parties in June. But here I'm told this is the open season. So if you will keep an open mind, I will try to give you an impression of an American debutante's nightmare. This is written by Mr. Vernon Crane and is entitled Miss Bent Bows. Major and Mrs. Billington Bent invite you to tea where they plan to present their debutante daughter, Miss Mary Louise, in front of a background of pastel sweet peas. The deb will be wrapped in a bolt of old lace. Elizabeth Arden is doing her face. There's music by Coleman and ices by Sherry and a gang up from Princeton to help make Mary Louise's debut the event of the season. However, the liquor supplies them with reason for writing acceptance in due courtesies. Lord knows they're not tempted by Mary Louise. She'll stand at the door with her mother in satin, receiving 9/10 of the bores of Manhattan. She'll chat and she'll smile and invent things to say, while the interesting people sneak in the back way to grab off a drink and remark, "This is tame," and then turn about face and go out as they came. When Mary Louise feels, oh, shucks, with receiving, she'll start her goodbyes to the guests who are leaving. Meanwhile, Major Bent's on his 10th scotch and soda. That's 5 or 6 over his usual quota. He's tight as a drum, and his thoughts are quite lost in wondering how much this thing's going to cost him. His wife, in a flurry and bright as a star, is dragging her sleeves through the fresh caviar, while pouring the tea as her governess taught her for any young man who might marry her daughter. The room's overcrowded and too brightly lighted, and half of those present were never invited. They came for the pleasure of crashing the gate or swiping a bit of the Bent family plate. The music is grand, the refreshments are fine, and all but the debutante has a good time. Her pa's in his cups and her ma's in her glory. Tomorrow the news will deliver this story. Miss Bent bows. Quote, Major and Mrs. Bellington Bent tossed off a swank tea with the firmest intent of finding a husband for Mary Louise, the girl in the bolt of old lace with sweet peas. Her ma was the one with the satin and mink. Her pa was the guy with his nose in a drink. Miss Bent has been rated in Bradstreet, we note, as the season's most wealthy young lady. Unquote. The bachelors read and they fall on their knees. Lord knows they're attracted to Mary Louise. And so, poor Miss Bent bows. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I've been asked to sing a song which I sang in Charlot's Review here in 1923, which first brought me to my success in America. And as this is my first appearance on the Magic Key Hour, I'm going to risk it again. I was standing on the platform, simply waiting for my train. And exactly how it happened, I never could explain. It was early in the evening, a little after 9, when I saw him saunter past me. Then he turned. His eyes met mine. I don't know what attracted my attention. I don't know if I even stopped to think. I don't know if I smiled without intention. And I don't know if I really saw him wink. I don't know if I may have been mistaken, but I thought I saw a flutter of his lid. I don't know how I came to let my bag fall. But I do know he was awfully glad I did. When the train came in the station, there was hardly room to stand. But I fought my way on board it, and he followed close at hand. And maybe I felt dizzy, or perhaps the train did sway. For I knew that I was falling. So, of course, I fell his way. I don't know if he really engineered it. I don't know if his strategy was planned. I don't know how we got squeezed in the doorway. And I can't think why I let him hold my hand. I don't know whether he was going homeward, or even if he lived upon that line. I don't know if we got out at his station. But I know we never got as far as mine. When the train came in the station, there was a taxi standing there. And he murmured as he hailed it. I say, can I drive you anywhere? Wait a second, I'm awfully sorry. Wait a minute, we've gone wrong here. I'm sorry now. Can we start again from the first piece, Mr. Black? Then we climbed a moving staircase. Where it was, I couldn't guess. At the barrier, I noticed he had to pay excess. At the entrance to the station was a taxi standing there. And he murmured as he hailed it. I say, can I drive you anywhere? I don't know if he saw my hesitation. I don't know what my mother would have said. So I murmured, well, just drop me near West Hempstead Station. And I can't think how we reached the Ritz instead. I don't know if he meant the things he whispered. I don't know what was really in his mind. Oh, I don't know what you think he did that evening. But I do know he did nothing of the kind.
Will the triumphal visit of the Swedish nightingale Jenny Lind to the United States in the past century be duplicated one day by the sensational young coloratura soprano of the Dresden Opera, Erna Sack? More and more European critics, unanimous in their praise, are comparing Fräulein Sack to Jenny Lind. The extraordinary range and beauty of her voice, combined with her remarkable technical virtuosity, amply justify the comparison. Already famous on the continent in 3 different fields of opera, concert, and radio, Erna Sack visited this country via the magic key of RCA several weeks ago. And today, in response to numerous requests, the magic key again turns to Erna Sack, singing from the other side of the Atlantic in Leipzig, Germany.
Hello, America. Hello, America. This is the Reichsrundfunkgesellschaft calling. Leipzig is greeting the listeners of the National Broadcasting Company, New York, most cordially. In the Magic Key program, Anna Suck from the State Opera Dresden is singing. The German Nightingale, as she is called, is always welcome to the transatlantic audience. She is now singing for you, accompanied by Rolf Schroeder, two songs, Estrelita by Manuel Ponce and La Folletta by Salvatore Marchesi.
Viva lo poco di tu pudena.
The Reichsrundfunkgesellschaft was featuring Erna Sack from the Dresden State Opera in a special program from Leipzig for the American listeners. She was accompanied by Rolf Schröder, who is a member of the Dresden State Opera too. This program is now ended, and the magic key of RCA returns you to New York.
Most people instinctively picture a beard when they hear someone described as a distinguished world traveler and author.